ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Some of you here completely new, never came to a Krishna temple before. Anyone like that here? No, the Indians, we know. This is Aapka Khoon Mein Hai, Krishna Bhakti. But what about yourself? Coming for the first time? I see. And yourself? Okay. Yes. All right, so. I'm just asking because I don't want to speak too much above everyone's head because we have to speak on philosophy. Krishna is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. And it's not that easy to just jump out of life in the material world into the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. But yourself, are you here? Have you been to a Krishna temple before?
Yes.
You have, okay. As most of you here are aware, we are soon to celebrate Krishna's birthday. Krishna is never born, but he has a birthday also. Does that make sense? No, not ordinarily, but then Krishna is beyond what we would normally consider to be sense. That doesn't mean he's nonsense, but he's transcendental to mundane logic. Krishna is not born, he's eternal. Actually, none of us are born, only the body is born. We get body after body after body. And each time we get a body, we think this body is me. But Krishna, he is eternal. He appears in this world in his original form, spiritual form. And that is called his birthday. Although he's the father and mother of everyone, Pita aham asya jagato, mata dhata pita mahaha, as he states in Bhagavad Gita. He's the father and mother, he's the source of everyone and everything. But he appears in this world as if, in many ways, like an ordinary person. He accepts a mother and a father out of a relationship of love. So Krishna's birthday is coming. And in the lead up to that, I've been speaking about various controversies regarding Krishna, because there are various people who, not understanding the mysteries of Krishna and his appearance in this world and his activities in the world, they criticize Krishna and saying he's doing something wrong. So I've been discussing this. One of the major criticisms of Krishna, of those who would criticize him, is that he is immoral, and his famous activity, because of his, well, there are various grounds on which he's accused of that. One of them is that he performs the Rasa Leela, which Rasa is the name of a circular dance, and Leela means drama or transcendentally pleasing activity or pastime. So Krishna, that is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, he dances with the gopis, the cowherd girls of Vrindavan, in the night. So this would be considered immoral. Not in the modern Western world, it wouldn't be considered immoral. Not much left to be considered immoral. Most of the things that were considered immoral previously are no longer considered immoral, because enjoy yourself. that is the aim of life in the world today. Just enjoy yourself with no understanding that there are cosmic laws of the universe. There are things that if we do, we become implicated. Such a thing as properly conducted sexual affairs and improperly. It's in today's morality is that, well, as long as you don't, if partners are consensual, and it doesn't matter what you do, as long as they're old enough, the age of consent. But the Vedic understanding, Veda simply means knowledge, so the knowledge that comes from what is called the Vedic scripture, that teaches us that human life is meant for responsibility, it's not meant for enjoyment. It's meant for acting in a way... Oh, I didn't get a garland yet. Okay, thank you. It's better to give it at the beginning, because once we start to talk, that's the main thing that's going on. It shouldn't be interrupted. So it's just turn up in the middle. It's not such a good idea. Yeah, so human life is meant for responsibility. That term is there, dharma, which means law. To follow dharma means there is responsibility, understanding that human life is attained after many, many births. Only in human life is there the possibility of understanding who we are, why we're in this material world, how it's not a good proposition to be here, to be born and die again and again, and how we should utilize this human life for getting out of it. So some idea of responsibility is there in every civilization. People get married, and then they they're responsible to their wife and children, and the broader understanding of family is not the nuclear family in sociological terms, which in modern Hindi means hum do hamare do. We are two and we have two. Or hum do hamare ek. We are two and we have one. Or as I sometimes joke, hum do hamare do. Ek beta or ek kuta. That's modern Indian family. One son and one dog. Because to be a respectable person nowadays, you have to have a big dog in your home. Which previously was considered wrong to have a dog in your home. There's a lot of difference between the Western civilization where dog is the best friend and kill the cows. But human life is a life of responsibility, and the family means not just me and my two, we and our two kids, but father, uncles, aunts, and extended family. So that sense is there, that elders should be looked after, children should be looked after. There's so many considerations. Children have to be, it's the responsibility of the parents to get the children married. Now that's gone because the children, they're already looking after themselves in this regard from a very early age. They have so many boyfriends and girlfriends and all this kind of thing goes on. So gradually this dharma is being broken down by the influence of Kali Yuga. But dharma or responsibility in human life is not meant just for having a family, looking after the children, but ultimately it's meant for coming out of this material world, understanding our situation in this material world. It's not good. What is the situation in this material world? Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Born again and again, die again and again. So what should be done? We should utilize this human life for the sake of getting out of this cycle, as Lord Krishna states. Labdva sudurlabha midang bahu sambhavante manusham artadam anityam apihadhira turnam yateta napated anumrityayava nishrayasaya vishayakalu sarvatasyat. Lord Krishna says that this human form of life is very rarely attained, but whoever can understand what's being spoken now is a human. Right? There may be other living beings present here. There are a few wasps flying around. And they can hear the sound of this verse also, but they can't understand it. So those who can understand it means they're in the human life. It's very rarely attained because there are so many species of life which we go through before getting the human birth. It's very rarely attained and it doesn't last very long. Right? How long can you expect to live? What's the expectation of life in the United Kingdom? It must be about 80, something like that. Well, if they put in the abortion figures, that would cut it right down a lot because there are so many abortions. Which that's also, but they don't include the aborted babies as humans. They're non-humans, just some tissue to be sucked out or whatever. So 80 years, it really isn't much time, because by the first few years of your life, you haven't got a clue what's going on anyway. You're just practically babies. In many ways are like animals. They don't have developed consciousness. Then you spend so many years going to school, and then you get married, and most people get married or working to make a career. Many people by the age of 23 or 24 have so much debts that they spend their whole life paying off the debts. And then you get old and then you sit in front of the TV and then you're dead. And that's it. The life has gone. So Krishna warns this life it's short, but it's very valuable. Human life is very valuable. In what sense is it valuable? It's valuable because in human life we have sufficient intelligence to assess our situation and therefore we should do so and realize that we're in this anityam asukam lokam, in this world where everything is temporary and miserable, and we should do whatever is required to get out of it in this human form of life. It is possible to do so. Even though this life is short, it is possible to get out of this cycle of birth and death. And if we think, well, why don't I just enjoy myself like everyone else? Krishna says that enjoyment of, what is that? Enjoyment of the senses. That's going on everywhere in all species of life. Even the dogs and the cats and the camels and the leprechauns, if there are any, still around in Ireland or anywhere else. They're all enjoying themselves. They all eat, sleep, and have sex, and fighting. That's also in Ireland, that's considered a pleasure, right? Fighting. All their wars are merry, and all their songs are sad.
Something like that.
Yeah. You're a genuine Irishman. No, you're not. You're spirit,
Anglo-Irish. Sorry.
You're Anglo-Irish. Okay, you're half same. Which side is the same side? Anyway, enough of these racial jokes. We're not supposed to be racialists here. If you want to enjoy the senses, then there's no need of a human body, and by the laws of nature, we'll get sent into a subhuman species, such as a cat or a dog or a chimpanzee. Chimpanzee has a very nice life, jumping around. So if we like to just jump around with no responsibility, we can end up as a chimpanzee, but then we won't get free from birth and death. So this human life should be utilized for self-realization, for understanding who we are, to get out of this cycle of birth and death. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita offers a very easy way to do so. We may think, well, if we have to be self-realized, then we have to go to a cave in the mountains. I don't think the mountains in Ireland they have caves. Not much. They're not really much mountains. They wouldn't be called mountains in any other country. They'd just be called hills. In a country where there are real mountains. But anyway, the idea, you go to a cave and become a yogi and just live by breathing air, maybe some leaves. It's a very difficult process, but Krishna offers a very easy process. Janma karma cha me devyam evang yo veti tatvataha tyakva dehang punar janma naiti mam eti sojana. Krishna says that one who, any person who understands about me, about my birth and my activities, they are all divya. This is the word in Sanskrit. There's a cognate word in English, divine. Divine means not material. They're nothing to do with spiritual. Krishna appears apparently as an ordinary person, but he is completely spiritual. And Krishna says, one who can understand this properly, just by this, by understanding this, they don't have to take birth again in this material world, but they go to Krishna to remain in the spiritual world forever with Krishna. And remember that Krishna spoke this Bhagavad Gita, he spoke this to Arjuna, who was a family man. He wasn't a sannyasi. So by understanding Krishna, we can be liberated from birth and death and go to Krishna in the spiritual world. And this is the proper or the responsible usage of one's human life, to utilize it for getting free from birth and death. And also, we may say, well, what about my family? Yes, one should take care of one's family members, not just feeding them and clothing them and providing shelter and education, but providing the education also by which they can become free from birth and death and go to Krishna. So to understand Krishna's appearance in this world, Janmashtami is coming, and Krishna says, Janma karma cha me devyam. One is to understand how Krishna's appearance and his activities, they're all divine. Divine means pure, non-material, spiritual. To understand that is required, but there are objectors who say that Krishna's pastimes are impure, that they try to, or they do accuse Krishna of being impure. So there are very, so in the last few days I've been going through some counter arguments to that. One very important one, and this is taken from Srimad Bhagavatam, I'll read the verse. Vikriritam vrajavadhubiridang cha vishno shradhanvitonu shrinayadattavarnayadhyaha bhaktiṃ parāṃ bhagavati pratilabhya kāmam hridrogam āśvapahinotyachirena dhīraha. The purport of this verse is that someone who is dhīra is a very important word which comes in Bhagavad Gita and elsewhere. Dhīra means sober, steady in his mind, which means not agitated by material contaminations. Dhira means not agitated by kaam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsari. One who's not under the spell of material desire, who is not under the, not influenced by material anger or greed or pride or envy or illusion, someone whose consciousness is steady and sober due to not being implicated in material desire. That's the last word in this verse, but generally in the translations in English it comes first because it's all, the whole verse hinges on this word. One has to become of steady mind, then one can consider these subjects. Generally, everyone is just driven by the mind with so many desires. I want this, I want that. And the modern life increases that more and more with advertising, buy this, buy that, enjoy this, enjoy something else. And in this way, the mind always remains agitated. But one who is of sober consciousness, who steps back from all of this and looks and sees, what is this? Why should I be involved in this? What's this got to do with me? This advertisement telling me, what is that song, Rolling Stones song, telling a guy comes on the radio telling me more and more about some useless information supposed to inspire my imagination. I can't get no satisfaction. It's the perverted reflection of Gita slogans. But he's got a point that somewhere there, just being, it's called the information age, and we're just being pumped with so much information and so much. Buy this. I just saw in India a few weeks ago some advertisement for Kit Kat. You all know what Kit Kat is? Some chocolate with biscuit inside, made by what company is it made? Cadbury's or Mars?
Nestle.
Nestle. In English it's called Nestle. Yeah. Because we don't like to pronounce it like those frogs. So I saw it said Kit Kat, the advertisement, new. And I thought, wait a minute, I used to read that when I was a kid. That was more than 50 years ago. What's new about it? They're trying to advertise something new, something wonderful about Kit Kat. It's the same old Kit Kat that they've been producing for so many years. So in this way, they're trying to inspire us to purchase all kinds of things that we don't need and spend money for that purpose and make the goal of the pursuit of our life simply to buy things and be happy by eating Kit Kat or drinking Bud Light. Yeah, I hope you don't know what Bud Light is. Unfortunately, I do. It's a kind of beer. But they're advertising that in India also now. That's miserable. So that idea is there, that you'll become happy. This, that, something else. They invented so many things to agitate the mind. Now the Olympic Games are going on. It's just another colossal nothingness. It has no... real, someone runs faster than another, give him a gold medal. Someone picks up a big weight. Gold. And then you bring any baby elephant, they can lift up that weight easily and pick it up with his trunk and hit the weightlifter on the head with the weight and knock him out. So if you want to be a weightlifter, then material nature will give you in your next life a body of an elephant. Or a buffalo, or it's a big, strong body. You want that? You want to run fast? Well, there are so many animals that can run fast. What's the fastest running animal? It's supposed to be the cheetah. So you can get that body, but you won't get an Olympic gold medal. So they've invented all these things just to agitate our consciousness and divert it away from the real goal of life, which is to become dhira, to become sober, to step back and think, what am I doing here? I've been in this material world life after life. I'm not happy. There's no prospect of actual happiness. It's just advertised that we can become happy. It's advertised we can become happy by Kit Kat or by Olympic Games or by having a nice family. But everything is destroyed in course of time. Then you start all over again with great hope. And again it's destroyed. And then again you get another birth. And again it's destroyed. So one should become dhira and step back, withdraw one's consciousness from all this and see everything in this world is temporary. But I am eternal. Such a person can understand the pastimes of Krishna. This word is used here, this verse. if one hears about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis of Vrindavan, which superficially appears to be immoral, but if one understands that Krishna's pastimes are not immoral, but our immorality is a perverted reflection of Krishna's pure spiritual relationships with the pure gopis. Pure means in their mind there is no material lust, greed, anger, any such thing. Their only desire is to satisfy Krishna. And Krishna also has no desire to enjoy anything materially or to exploit others. Krishna's on a different platform. If someone of sober consciousness who's not interested in hearing about Priyanka Chopra, you just told me, who told me? You told me? Yeah, she's the greatest Bollywood star at the moment, is it? Or one of them? One of them, okay. So who's not interested in hearing about mundane lusty affairs or mundane lusty people, but who's interested in hearing about Krishna, understanding that Krishna's activities, they are the real love affairs. They're not bound by time, they're not bound by space, there's no limit to the love, and it's real love. Just like we see in this world, the great film stars, they have so many lovers. But Krishna also has so many lovers, but they're permanent relationships. It doesn't break up into something with bitterness, disappointment. Krishna's always young and fresh. The beautiful film star of today is some crumpled up old face. They think, oh, the face is very beautiful. But it becomes full of lines in due course of time. And then no one's interested in them. As long as they're young and beautiful, then people are interested. When they become old, not interested. As when I first came to India, this Rekha, she was big Rekha. But now it's all Rekha. Like this, lines all over. So who will be interested? Because they're interested in the mundane body. But Krishna, his body is not mundane. It never is. His form is eternally, transcendentally, spiritually, always young and beautiful. And how beautiful? Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham. His beauty is so beautiful that even millions of cupids are defeated by his beauty, because on a different level altogether. So a person who is dhira, who is not interested in Hollywood or Bollywood or Tollywood or any such thing, or Olympic Games or Kit Kat, who's understood that everything in this world is insubstantial, has no actual meaning, such a person will take interest in hearing about Krishna. Because these that's the point. And by hearing about Krishna, by hearing about his pastimes, with faith, not with a challenging mood, by hearing about Krishna's pastimes with faith, then one becomes purified. One may be dhira, it means spiritually intelligent, but not fully purified. It's not that simply by having enough intelligence to understand that everything in this world is insubstantial, it's not that one automatically becomes purified just because of that. It means that one's well on his way, but still, within the heart, it's very difficult to remove all that kam, krodh, lo, moha, mada, matsarya, all the dirty things within the heart. And for that purpose, therefore, various yogis, they may go to caves in the mountains and perform meditation and austerities for many lives so that they can remove these dirty things from the heart, so they can become completely dhira. Yoga chitta vritti nirodha. The definition of yoga is to stop all the fluctuations of the mind. It's very, very difficult to do. But here another process is given. No need to do that very difficult meditation and austerity. One can even live in one's own home and practice learning about Krishna. If one with faith hears from a bona fide devotee about the pastimes of Krishna, with the gopis of Vrindavan, understanding that Krishna is Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then such a person, he attains the highest, he also attains, following in the footsteps of the gopis, he attains the highest level of bhakti, bhakti param, bhagavati pratilabhya, kamam hrid, then the disease in the heart. In this material world, everyone has heart disease. You may say, well, I don't have a heart disease. I have this disease and that disease, but I don't have heart disease. Everyone has heart disease. What is that disease? Kamam hridrogam, the disease within the heart of material desire. But that will be completely vanquished by hearing about these pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. So one point to take from this is that if Krishna's pastimes with the gopis are so purifying that by hearing them one becomes purified, then how can they be impure? It's a simple logical understanding. We find that so many great sannyasis and renouncers of the world who left all mundane activities, they also take pleasure in hearing about Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Krishna himself. In the role of a sannyasi, he was very strict in his, although he had been married previously, but after accepting sannyas, he was very strict in the matter of dealings with women, as sannyasis should be. Otherwise, there's no meaning to being a sannyasi. But he liked to hear about, in fact, he took sannyas for the very purpose of dedicating his life to contemplating the activities of Krishna, especially the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan with the gopis. So that might appear to be contradictory. But rather it shows that someone who has renounced the activities and the supposed pleasures of this material world, they take pleasure in hearing about Krishna, which shows that Krishna's activities are completely spiritual. That even people have no interest in any more material activities, they take pleasure in hearing about Krishna. So these points should be understood. Everyone should try to understand them as we are aspiring to be devotees of Krishna. We can expect that people may challenge us on this point. What is this? You're Krishna. He's immoral. We should be prepared to reply. So this is one of the points. I've been giving a series of talks on this. So this is one of the points that we can counteract, that this accusation that Krishna is immoral because he dances with the gopis. So one rebuttal or reply to that is that, but by hearing about these activities, one becomes purified. So if one becomes purified by hearing about these activities, simply by hearing about them, then how pure is Krishna? So this is one reply. There are several others which I've been going through. So I'll finish there. That's just one point. I'll finish speaking about that there. About that now. So if anyone has any question about this, they may please ask about this. Yeah, please.
It seems to be very difficult to concentrate on spiritual matters in the material world.
It seems to be very difficult to concentrate on spiritual matters in the material world. Yeah? Then come to the spiritual world. When we're with devotees, hearing and chanting about Krishna, then we enter spiritual existence. I would imagine that's more so for you with two young children who occupy your attention 24 hours a day, pretty much. But if you raise them in the consciousness that let them be devotees of Krishna, let me give them food, love, care, protection, instruction, for the sake that they may also take to Krishna consciousness, then your mothering of the children becomes pleasing to Krishna, becomes Krishna consciousness. Also for spirit souls in the bodies of women, because it's understood traditionally they're busy looking after children and looking after the house and this and that. That's if they have a qualified husband, who's then simply by serving him, they get all benefit also by serving a husband. So nowadays that's thought to be something very backwards, that the wife should serve the husband. But it's there's a spiritual basis to that also. That the husband should be materially responsible and spiritually responsible also. And then the wife, by assisting him, she gets the same benefit.
And would you be thinking that because Mother Yashoda was given one of the most special positions of actually mothering Krishna, that she kind of portrays how a mother and like a woman can actually almost have one of the more special, like everything is special, but like a really special connection actually with Krishna, that, you know, male or female, you know, everyone, we all have our different...
To have a female body now is not necessarily an indication that you're lining up for a female body in the spiritual world. I quoted that twice in the last 2 days that I've been here, two or three days, whatever it is, that in the forest of Dandakaranya, there were different rishis who saw Lord Rama, and they wanted to have a relationship with him similar to that of Sita. They were males. And he said, it's not possible this time round because I have a vow of only one wife, but you come next time. So they came next time as gopis. So it may be that someone who has a female body in this life is lining up for a male or female body in the next life. But it is very commonly seen that women devotees, I'm talking about in India, devotees of Krishna, they very much relate to baby Krishna, and they like to treat Krishna as their own baby. So they have that feeling. So the motherly feeling, which is natural in them, they natural with the body that they've got, the psychology that comes with a female body, that's along with their own children, they direct that toward Krishna, and they like to hear about Krishna's childhood passings. But then, of course, there are many male devotees who also like to contemplate Krishna as child Krishna. So it can be definitely the female bhav or feelings in this life that can actually. Srila Prabhupada, he said that. He said that the mother's love in this world is the closest thing to spiritual love because it's the most selfless. So that can be an advantage, but it's not the essential feature because, yeah.
But really there is no difference really, isn't there? Because, I mean, obviously we will be male this life, female that life.
Well, what we cultivate in this life will set up our next life. In spiritual existence also. Yadrishi, yadrishi, shraddha, siddhi, bhavati, tadrishi. According to our faith, the word shraddha is usually translated as faith, but it can have multiple meanings. It can also mean outlook. So according to our outlook in this life, and in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks in the 17th chapter about the divisions of faith, shraddha. Shraddha trai vibhaga. But that can be understood to mean one's whole outlook, because how we perceive the world. So according to what we cultivate in this life, that's what we'll get in the perfectional stage. So it may be also that someone who's, because of their previous lives, cultivation of bhakti, that they, when they're just preparing to become perfect, then they're just getting there. So they get a body which is it's a body and mentality which is suitable for cultivating that. Just like there may have been so many fighters on the battlefield with Arjuna who weren't perfect devotees, but they were getting there. So they got that situation. One who is born as after cultivating Krishna consciousness, one may be born as a gopi in Krishna's pastime. So they're given a body suitable for that. Or they may be a young girl in Mithila, or the city of Janak Maharaj, and they see Ram coming and they desire him. It may seem to be like a material desire, but actually they're placed in that condition because they're highly elevated spiritual persons who have been placed in that condition, and their feeling of wanting to have a husband, that becomes directed to Lord Rama, and they also, in their next life, they join Krishna as gopis. So I hope that answered the question.
Just going forward with the question, how to like figure out what kind of relationship
we have? What kind of relationship do we have with Krishna? Jiva Surupai Krishna Nitya Das. The basic relationship everyone has with Krishna is as a servant. So when we've got that completely fixed in our consciousness, then the specifics of it will become revealed to us. But at the moment we are Godas. Or Indriya Das, we're serving our senses. So as long as we're on the platform of trying to enjoy our senses, then it's not so suitable to try to understand how we're going to intimately serve Krishna in the spiritual world, because then we'll think of how I'll enjoy Krishna. That thought will come. So as long as we have the mentality Ishvaroham aham bhogi, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, then we should concentrate on understanding, no, I am the servant of Krishna. And then exactly how we serve, that will be seen later. The gopis, they're also serving Krishna. They may chastise him. If we insult Krishna, that becomes a great offense. If the gopis do so, that's very pleasing to Krishna, because that's an affair of love on the completely loving platform. Just like I don't want to pry into your personal life, but it may be that sometimes your wife in jest says something funny about you to you. It may be. So it's like that with Krishna and the gopis. But that's in completely spiritual atmosphere. Sometimes they may say, don't come here, we don't want to see you. That's a very highly elevated platform if we can do that in relationship with Krishna. If we try to come to that platform artificially before we are free from the propensity to want to enjoy separately from Krishna, then that artificially jumping in will not help us. First, we should become fully fixed in the understanding, I'm meant for serving Krishna. Let me do everything for Krishna's pleasure. Later, other things will be revealed. But Krishna's pleasure, then we have to start performing sadhana in our homes, we can do also. In English, there's a saying, the family that prays together stays together. Seems that less families are praying together these days because less families are staying together. So, similarly, if we have a Krishna-centered home, then everything becomes very happy when everyone is happily serving Krishna together. Hare Krishna.